Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Monday, November 15th. We're talking about the final deal world leaders signed at this year's climate conference and why some countries are not so thrilled about it. Also, for the first time, a Trump advisor is facing charges stemming from the January 6th Capitol riot investigation, and the FBI got hacked. Plus, how the Free Britney movement finally found its moment, why Medicare is expected to cost more soon, and which pop star just broke two records with her new-ish album. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The crucial climate summit called COP26 ended with nearly 200 nations signing an agreement. They all promised to do more to tackle climate change. But there are questions over how governments will really follow through over the next decade. For the most part, the deal only relies on promises, not laws. And there aren't any kind of sanctions or penalties for countries who do not follow the rules. Some of the specifics of the deal, though, include moving away from coal, urging rich nations to at least double funding to protect poor countries from the dangers of a warmer climate. And it tells top governments to come back next year with better plans to cut emissions. But a lot of the leaders are complaining that this deal does not go far enough. Still, pretty much everyone who signed on to the deal agrees it was better than nothing. And beyond that joint deal, a lot of nations announced their own initiatives. For example, more than 100 countries agreed to cut methane emissions by 30% this decade. And most major economies have now promised to reach net zero emissions by a certain date. It's going to be tough to meet those commitments, though. Here in the U.S., it might not be easy to get the majority of lawmakers to support these kinds of plans, especially if they mean breaking up with fossil fuels. In the past, Republicans have worried about possible job losses in the energy industry. And coal is still a relatively inexpensive way to get electricity. To be continued. The U.S. military reportedly covered up airstrikes that killed dozens of women and children in Syria. That's according to a new report by the New York Times. The Times says it spent months putting the report together with confidential documents and interviews with personnel who were involved. It says the back-to-back airstrikes happened in March of 2019. 80 people were killed, including 16 ISIS fighters. But the military still says it's not sure about the rest of the people who died. The only investigation right after the strike was done by the same unit that ordered it in the first place, and it determined the bombing was legal. U.S. military leaders just acknowledged these attacks for the first time last week, saying they were justified and for self-defense purposes. A former White House aide is now officially facing criminal charges. Longtime Trump advisor Steve Bannon was indicted for contempt of Congress. He was charged for refusing to work with the lawmakers investigating the January 6th Capitol riot. They subpoenaed Bannon early last month, but he refused to hand over documents or testify in front of the committee. So they had enough support in the Justice Department for this contempt charge. Today, Bannon is expected to turn himself in and also appear in court. If he's found guilty, he could spend up to 2 years in jail. But experts say criminal contempt can be tough to prosecute. And that's one reason this type of charge has not actually led to a conviction in decades. Now, keep in mind, Bannon is not the only person the House panel has subpoenaed. Dozens of others in Trump's inner circle got the same request from Congress. Most have already turned over documents and testified, but some others are holding out, like Bannon. So we could see similar charges coming for other Trump aides. Stay tuned. Hackers were able to get into email servers at the FBI over the weekend. They sent out thousands of phony messages that look like they're warning people they were victims of a sophisticated chain attack. But it's not exactly clear what the hackers' motives might have been, especially since the emails did not include any sort of links or attachments. The FBI does know how they got in, though. An agency spokesperson says those hackers exploited a flaw in an FBI messaging system, but they were not able to access sensitive FBI files or data. And since the hack happened, the agency says it has fixed the flaw. Of course, this is not the first time a government agency has been targeted. So earlier this month, President Biden told federal agencies they better patch any cyber threats ASAP. It's another setback for the nationwide mandate for large businesses. This is the one that's supposed to go into effect in January. It says companies with more than 100 employees have to make sure their workers get vaccinated or are tested for COVID-19 weekly. Well, another federal appeals court kept it blocked. As you know, vaccine mandates are deeply controversial here in the U.S. Supporters say they're necessary to end the COVID-19 pandemic that's killed nearly 765,000 Americans in less than 2 years. But critics say they go against individual liberty, since each person should be able to make health choices for themselves. And in this case, the court sided with the critics, calling the mandate overboard and likely beyond the federal government's authority. But don't expect this to be the final word. After more cases come up and their likely appeals, the issue could eventually end up in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor. I'm a first-time parent, and at times, it can be challenging. In fact, any big transition period in our lives can feel really stressful. But the reality is, we don't have to go through those more intense seasons of life alone. BetterHelp pairs you with a licensed professional counselor who you can message anytime, 24/7, and get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule video or phone sessions as well. Yes, you can connect through text, phone, video, or all three, whatever helps you feel most supported. And of course, anything you share with your BetterHelp therapist is completely confidential. One BetterHelp user wrote that her therapist never made her feel judged and, quote, gave me perspective in an empathetic way that really helped me both process what I went through and gave me the validation I needed to move forward. So whatever your situation, I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Britney Spears' conservatorship is officially over. And that means neither her father, Jamie, nor anyone else will formally have control over her personal life, finances, and career. Remember, her father had been in charge of it all since 2008, up until earlier this year when Britney's legal team got a replacement. Britney has been trying for years to end the conservatorship, saying her father was taking advantage of her and profited off controlling her career. He denied that, saying the conservatorship got her through a rough patch in her life. Over the summer and after the hashtag Free Britney movement became popular online, her father agreed the arrangement should end, saying if she's capable of making her own decisions, then she should be able to. Now that it's all over, Britney fans celebrated outside the courthouse in Los Angeles after the decision was announced. Medicare premiums are going up next year, and it's one of the largest increases ever. Medicare, of course, is federal health insurance for people 65 and older or those with a disability. It covers more than 60 million people. Well, the standard premiums for Medicare's outpatient coverage will go up by nearly $22 a month for next year. That's a 14.5% increase. The reason? The government is blaming the pandemic and an expensive new Alzheimer's drug. The new drug, called Aduhelm, is $56,000 a year. But the government says the hike in Medicare premiums will be offset by a cost-of-living boost to Social Security payments. Those payments are going up nearly 6%, and that's the largest bump to Social Security in 3 decades. The AP reports it was originally meant to help with the rising prices of gas, groceries, and more. Now, at least some of that extra money may be going to pay for Medicare premiums. Johnson & Johnson is splitting into two companies. One will be for its consumer products, which include well-known brands like Neutrogena, Band-Aids, and Tylenol. The other will be its riskier but faster-growing pharmaceuticals division, which includes the company's COVID-19 vaccine. CNBC reports the company has not figured out a name yet for the new consumer goods business, and for now, it's just calling it the New Consumer Health Company. The split is expected to be finalized sometime over the next 2 years. One analyst told the Washington Post this typically happens either because the divisions don't have enough in common and/or investors don't think the company's value is getting recognized properly. And Johnson & Johnson is not the only major corporation announcing it's splitting up its business divisions. We told you last week about General Electric breaking into 3 companies, and now Toshiba says it too will divide into 3 companies. One will focus on energy and infrastructure. Another will be electronics, including its lineup of laptops, TVs, and more. The third will be the company's memory chip business. Toshiba's split comes after years of issues within the company, including a 2015 accounting scandal. Former President Trump and his family business are selling the rights to the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. The Wall Street Journal says an investment firm is buying the lease for $375 million. CGI Merchant Group is going to remove the Trump name and have the hotel rebranded and managed by Hilton's Waldorf Astoria. The hotel is just a short walk down Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House. It opened under the Trump name in 2016, just before Trump took office. Now, this sale is expected to close early next year, assuming the federal government approves. It comes as lawmakers have been investigating whether that hotel might have led to some conflicts of interest while Trump was president. The hotel was a favorite Republican meeting spot, and it also hosted some foreign dignitaries. But the Trump organization says it always paid the Treasury Department for money made from foreign government guests. Now, even though the hotel is being sold, some House lawmakers say their investigation will continue. It's been a record-breaking few days for Taylor Swift. First, she broke a record on Spotify for the most streamed album in a day by a female. She did it with her latest album, Red, Taylor's Version. The album includes 21 re-recordings from her original 2012 release of Red. The other nine are new songs. It tallied 90.8 million streams on day one, beating Swift's own record from her album, Folklore. She's been re-recording her music since she could not win the rights to the original recordings from her previous label. Swift also broke a record Saturday night when she was on Saturday Night Live. It was the longest single performance in the history of the show. She performed the new 10-minute version of her song, All Too Well. And that's it for your main news today, but now it's time for Money Monday, when we talk about one interesting money-related news story. But first, this episode is brought to you by KiwiCo. The holidays are all about coming together with loved ones and taking an active role in creating the magic of the season. Yes, you could buy things like ornaments, for example, but isn't building your own so much more fun and rewarding? This year, KiwiCo wants to invite you and your family to make the holidays a little less prepackaged and a little more hands-on, all while learning a thing or two along the way. Our family has loved getting KiwiCo crates in the mail. We continue to get new, exciting, and high-quality toys that were chosen by the experts for my son's specific age and development. And I already have KiwiCo on my gift list for my niece, who is several years older than my son, and I know she will especially love getting mail that is just for her. She'll also love KiwiCo's real engineering, science, and art projects each month. This holiday, don't just teach kids how to buy. Teach them how to build. Give them a gift of a hands-on holiday with a KiwiCo subscription and celebrate a love for hands-on learning all year long. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code NEWSWORTHY at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code NEWSWORTHY. Now back to Money Monday. The Federal Reserve says household debt passed $15 trillion for the first time recently. That's almost 2% more than the previous quarter. Mortgages made up the biggest difference. They rose by hundreds of billions of dollars, making up about two-thirds of Americans' debt. But auto loans and student loan balances also increased the last few months. Credit card debt is ticking up too, but it's still much lower than it was before the pandemic, since a lot of people have been paying down that kind of debt with savings or relief payments from the federal government. Some more good news, more Americans are paying their credit cards on time. So why is overall debt still going up? Well, economists say people are spending because they can. Most of the world has reopened since the height of the pandemic. People are going back to work and wages are getting higher too. So more Americans can afford to take out loans on things like houses, cars, and school tuition. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe or follow for free in your podcast app to always see our new daily episodes and stay in the know. We'll be back with much more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.